this is Marion and Dewey the dog. We're in the Love Shack at the Greenville Drive-In. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson Catskill.
Wave Farms WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have one and don't need it, and it's a Macintosh 2019 or newer, please email info@WGXC.org for more information. Thank you for your contribution.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences in both Rhinebeck and Saugerties. This month, playing The Brutalist, September 5th, Nickel Boys, No Other Land, The End, Before Sunrise, The Importance of Being Earnest, 2025 Oscar-nominated shorts, and a full weekend marathon of the Lord of the Rings trilogy back on the big screen. Information at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Matt Wynn of Hartsdale, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
good evening. This is the Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour. You're listening to us on WGXC ACRA 90.7 on your FM dial. We broadcast at 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of every month. And tonight, we're live from the WGXC studio on Main Street in Catskill. So if you're in Catskill, come say hello.
The disco lights are going.
That they are. I'm one of your hosts, Casey, here with my co-host, Poche Noir, otherwise more pedestrianly known as Bill.
Bonsoir, comrades. Since there have been recent mentions of World War III, the mechanized invasion of an independent nation, and the influence of not-so-very crypto-Nazis in our government, we open this broadcast with a portion of the first movement of Holst's The Planets Symphony, which is Mars, the Bringer of War, which was conducted by the twice-over Nazi Herbert von Karajan of the Berlin Philharmonic. He's a twice-over Nazi because he registered with the Nazi Party twice.
What a horrible man. We should not play him anymore.
Okay. But I just thought it was apropos with all of these.
I mean, yeah, we can't really avoid him nowadays,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. But there were so many Nazis that did well. Look at Wernher von Braun.
Look at the entire space program.
That's right.
Look at Kanye West.
That's true. That's true. Okay. So tonight, being Tuesday, March 4th of the year 2025 in the Gregorian calendar, it is also the 14th day of Ventuse, a day represented by the hedge mustard plant in the year 233 of the French Republican calendar.
What? A day represented by the hedge mustard plant?
There were plants, and in the French Republican calendar, there were plants and animals for every day of the year.
Oh,
so the last time that we broadcast, the day was the day of the billy goat.
Ah, that's fun.
It is fun.
Although I do love mustard.
They were a lot of fun. Even with their guillotines, I thought they were a little fun.
Yeah, spicy.
Mm-hmm.
As always, here's the standard disclaimer. Marks are made tonight reflect the opinions of whomever may be speaking them and not of WGXC. Also, these remarks need not reflect the opinions of anyone else in the Democratic Socialists of America. It's just Poche Noir and I speaking our respective minds, and we too even may not agree.
That's right. If you disagree or you want to qualify anything said on the show tonight, then you might consider joining the Democratic Socialists of America and make your thoughts known. There's no line to be towed by members of the DSA. We all just want a fairer society. So to be a DSA member, you do not have to be a strict Marxist like me. All you need to do is to go to dsausa.org or to capitaldistrictdsa.org and sign up, or in martial terms, enlist. Casey, isn't it otherwise an important day?
Okay, see, yes, I know that it is because you've told me, but I am not a religious person. I was not raised in Catholicism, nor okay. have I spent time in New Orleans in February or March. So,
okay.
But it is Fat Tuesday.
It's Fat Tuesday. It's Mardi Gras. Okay.
It's Mardi Gras, baby.
So,
see, but in my mind, Mardi Gras is February.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I think it's all, like, I made that decision years ago, and it's stuck with me ever since.
I believe that, to my mind, Mardi Gras is kind of late this year.
Oh, it is? So okay.
I guess that also Easter will be late.
True.
And tomorrow's, you know.
Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
I know that because the students in high school, elementary school, college, who mm-hmm. are Catholic, came in with the ash on their forehead, and I remember being really jealous when I was in elementary school.
I kind of like the ashes because it's really kind of like savage and tribal.
It's metal.
Yeah.
It's cool.
What do you mean metal?
What is, it's just like
Is that new slang?
Metal's not new slang specifically. Metal is metal in like the, like metal music.
Okay. Yes, I understand. So, but that's become something for cool, wicked.
Yeah,
I guess. In my days growing up, we'd say, oh my God, that's wicked.
Yeah. Did you really?
Oh,
I thought
yeah.
that was a Boston
Whenever
thing.
Whenever there was a new Hot Wheels car, it was like, you know, I'm 5 or 6 years
sure,
old.
Sure, sure.
That's wicked. Now, I also have noticed that you use the term mid. What does
yes.
that mean?
Oh, yeah. I sent an email and I used mid in it. And Sweet Bill was like, what's
Poche
that?
Noir.
Poche Noir. Sorry. Sweet Poche Noir. mid is, I guess it's slang for like mid-level, like not that good, not that bad, just kind of like meh.
Okay.
But I think a Gen Z person out there could probably correct me on that. But that's my understanding of what mid is.
So that was for a little image for our show tonight. And the image, if you go to the website for WGXC, you will see a picture of a very, very young Bernadette Devlin. Who
looking beautiful and very
that's
cool.
Right. She was at one time told that she was Fidel Castro in a miniskirt.
Ooh.
And I'm not really sure that's appropriate because I think that probably Castro didn't have terrific knees. I don't think he could have pulled it off.
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know.
Who
it's too late
to
know now.
But why? So she was prolific during the Troubles?
Yes.
Okay.
And she even got elected to Parliament.
Oh, wow. How funny.
So she's, and what's great about Bernadette Devlin is that she was like, well, I would be, I'm all for a United Ireland, so long as the United Socialist Ireland.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She didn't, you know, she wasn't one of those like just, you know, unite Ireland for all costs.
Yeah, yeah. That's right? Great. So yeah, it's Women's History Month starting. Not
this
today.
Month.
This month, yeah.
This
month.
It.
Yeah, because it's because of the Russian Revolution, if I remember correctly as well, that it's this month, correct?
I believe that's
because
true.
Because the women...
Because there was a women's march that...
I mean, I don't think it was a women's march per se. It was a strike.
A
because
strike, a
yeah,
strike, yes.
Because of World War I, because they had no food.
Mm-hmm.
And in classic... All right, this is big conjecture here, but in classic male fashion, they were just theorizing their way into doing nothing. And the women were like, we need food to feed our families, so mm-hmm. they took to the streets, and thus the Russian Revolution began.
Okay.
No offense.
Well, now it is. Now I'm going to change up the playlist here because I'm thinking that I'm going to go to a song about a woman.
Well, I am curious though because I want to get back to what is Lent. I actually have no idea. You give stuff up. I understand
oh, yeah.
that, but like,
I'm
why?
Giving up sugar.
Sugar, all sugar.
So by Good like, Friday, I'm going to be a monster.
Huh? Can you not?
You know, I'm going to be, it's going to be terrible.
So, but why, like, what, why?
Mortification of the flesh.
Mortification of the flesh.
That's right.
Also pretty metal. Catholicism's okay. kind of metal.
All right. So I'm seeing that the word, the.
Mortification of the flesh just, like, could be a really cool, like, album name.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well. I guess we can carry on. We can go in the women direction. We can go in the Catholic direction. We can go in the Mardi Gras direction. Choose your fighter.
They're both kind of Louisiana directions. I'm going to just go with the ordinary playlist here with Jerry Reed.
Let's do it.
Because it involves the defeat of the law and alligators.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligator for a living. He just knocked him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou. About 45 minutes southeast of Thibodaux, Louisiana, lived a man called Doc Millsap and his pretty wife and all. Well, they raised up a son that could eat up his bait and groceries. Named him after a man of the cloth. Called him Amos Moses. Yeah. Amos was a hell of a man. He could trap the biggest, the meanest alligator and just use one hand. That's all he got left called alligator bitty. Left thumb gone clean up to the elbow. Well, the sheriff got wind that Amos was in the swamp trapping alligator skin.
world. I wonder where the Louisiana Chef went to. Well, you can so get lost in the Louisiana Bayou. About 45 minutes southeast of Tippito, Louisiana. There's a cat called Doc Millsaps and his pretty wife Hannah. Well, they raised up a son that could eat up his weight in groceries. Named him after a man of the cloth. Called him Amos Moses. Sit down on him, Amos. Make it count, son. About 45 minutes southeast of Tippito, Louisiana. Lived a man called Doc
Millsap. Woo, make it count, son.
That's fun.
I like that.
Yeah, that was great.
Now, Jerry Reed was really, really hot property in the 70s when I was growing up. He was, not only did he have a summer replacement TV show, but he was such a hot property that he was actually a guest on Scooby-Doo.
Really?
He was an animated guest on Scooby-Doo.
When? You don't know?
Somewhere in the 70s.
Cool.
I didn't decide to pull that.
That's understandable.
But
were you a Scooby-Doo kid?
No, I was a little too old for Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
But I just think it's kind of amazing. And
I feel like Scooby-Doo is like has done a lot of guests.
Oh my God!
Throughout the years.
Scooby-Doo had the craziest guests.
Yeah, and continued
Sandy Duncan
to. Yeah.
And the Harlem Globetrotters were guests on Scooby. It's ridiculous.
Super fun. Is Scooby-Doo still Scooby-Dooing? Scooby-Doo's probably dead. He's a dog. They don't live that long.
Yeah, he was a Great Dane. Great Danes don't live that
right.
He was a Great Dane. That's fine.
He was a big boy. I imagine it was a Great Dane.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever like give the breed out? Scooby-Doo was just, I mean, yeah, he's definitely.
He was definitely a Great Dane.
Yeah, he's definitely a Great Dane. They're all probably really old now.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I thought the movies, actually, I really enjoyed the movies.
Oh my gosh. Scooby-Doo, genuinely scared me. Did you see? Yeah. The live action ones you're talking about?
Well, I like the live action ones because I thought they were well acted.
No, they're very fun. True horror for me as a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were on, I'm trying to remember what, I haven't rewatched it because it ruined my life for a little while.
Mm-hmm. I think Velma's a hot property now, right?
Oh, always has been. Okay. Babe.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue with this theme now, you know.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Matthew Sweet.
Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Doo.
that was a little bit of candy heaven there.
That
even
was
though
that
even
was
though I'm
fun.
Gonna keep away from sweets for the next 40 days. Well, that's Matthew's sweet.
Yeah, well, you don't have to start until tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. So, all right, we've been playing a lot of music by guys, and this is International Women's Month, I imagine, right? It's international.
You don't imagine it. It is indeed.
Okay. All right, so let's play something by, what did we say it was? Jessica Pratt?
Jessica Pratt,
okay.
Yeah.
Who is Jessica Pratt?
She is a folk musician, like indie musician from California.
Can I just read something maybe a couple of months about of her in the New York Times or something like that?
Probably, yeah. This album that she released late last year, I should know that. She's the company that I work for is her publisher, which is why I'm
what you
really
like the song
right now.
There
yeah.
All right, let's play Jessica Pratt here. The name is Life Is. That's
yes,
the name of the song.
Life Is.
Here we go. That was a rather well-produced, nice, sweet little song.
Wasn't it? I also really appreciate a fade-out. I feel like fade-outs haven't been a thing for a while, and I feel like some artists are bringing back a fade-out, and I think that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. So most of the stuff I listen to usually has pretty terrific endings, especially if you're a Beatles fan like I am. They know how to end a song.
That
but I
do.
Also do like a nice fade-out.
Yeah, they have a time and a place.
Okay. So those have been on the decrease lately, you say?
I find that they have been for the past, like, 20 years. I feel like they were really big in R&B in the 90s and mm-hmm. pop in the early 2000s, and then music went in a very different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Fade-outs kind of stopped.
Okay.
But correct me if I'm wrong, people of WGXE. I don't know. This is all just my humble opinion.
Okay. So... we're going to call Megan in a few minutes. Megan is a scientist working. I'm a big believer in anonymity because people can get in trouble in their jobs if people learn their political disposition. So I don't want to give away too much, but she's a scientist dealing with the electrical grid. I'll leave it up to Megan to describe herself more fully as she desires. But here's a song that she suggested. I'm going to play it before we call her.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Finane. Look at my king all dressed in red. Aiko, aiko, ande. I bet you $5 he'll kill you dead. Giacomo Finane. Talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Finane. My flag boy and your flag boy sitting by the fire. My flag boy to your flag boy, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Finane. See that guy all dressed in green. Aiko, aiko, ande. He's not a man, he's a loving machine. Giacomo Finale. Talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Finale. Talking about henna, henna, henna. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Finale. Giacomo Finale.
Aiko.
Amazing.
All
classic.
Right, that was the Dixie Cups. All right, so let's do a little magic here, and let's see if I can make contact with Megan. Let's see. I'm going to call her.
Is it ringing?
I don't know. Nope. Hold it. It went right to Skype. That is strange. I don't want to do that. Let's do a FaceTime then. Let's do...
Ooh, I hear it.
I hear something going on. Sounds.
Hello.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, guys. Oh, happy awesome. Mardi Gras, y'all.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras, Megan.
Now, Megan.
Yeah, so thanks for having me here, having me on.
All right.
Oh, my gosh, of course. Thank you for coming on. You're from New Orleans?
I'm not from New Orleans. I was born in a place called Lake Charles, which is west of New Orleans in South Louisiana. It's in Calcasieu Parish. So Louisiana has parishes instead of counties in the state. And when I was about 5, I moved with my family up to Shreveport, Louisiana, which is in the northwest corner of the state. So I'm not from New Orleans, but born and raised in Louisiana.
Fair to say you're born in the bayou?
Lake Charles, I don't know if you call Lake Charles the bayou. Maybe some people would call it the bayou. We can say that, I guess. But, you know, on my mom's side, I'm several generations deep of Louisiana. So my mom was born in Baton Rouge, and her mom was born in that area as well. So lots of Louisiana blood.
So what are you doing up here away from the deep South, your home? I mean, like,
well, yeah,
I mean, like,
so after. Yeah, so, I mean, I moved away from the Deep South after college, and ended up in upstate New York I'm in Albany this past summer. So moved for work after finishing my PhD in chemistry. And I've really, you know, enjoyed, you know, living in upstate New York. And of course, getting to know some new comrades at the Capital District DSA.
So you, nice. I imagine then that you were a DSA member while you were down in Louisiana. Is that true?
No, I wasn't when I was in Louisiana. So I left Louisiana when I was about 17 or 18. Okay. So, and yes, I was, you know, bad. it was pretty, what year was that? It was 2015.
Nah, nobody gives.
So I think, you know,
nobody has to give their
ages. I don't mind. So more recently, so I went to grad school in LA, and that's sort of where I first heard about DSA.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So I have one quick question before you ask the science questions. Is Marty Bell late this year?
So I was listening to the beginning, and I do feel like Mardi Gras is late this year. So, you know, as you two were kind of talking about, it always is, of course, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, and Easter moves around on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that Megan is buffering a little bit.
Oops. The suspense.
Hold it. Your connection is unstable, it says. Here, hold it. Oh, but she came back.
She's back.
Hold it. And she's gone.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're back. Can hear you.
Yay.
Now.
Welcome.
Okay, I turned off my camera
in hopes
that would be a stronger connection. But yeah, I do think Mardi Gras felt late this year. I think, you know, like you were saying, often it's in February. I don't remember how the date of Easter is determined, but yeah, it just coincides with those dates, right? And so, yeah, it is French for Fat Tuesday. Mardi is Tuesday, and Gras is fat in French.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, it sort of was brought as a tradition to Louisiana by the French colonists when they sort of were coming to Louisiana. But I think, you know, a lot of the traditions were sort of more inspired by, you know, all the blending of cultures that was really going on mm-hmm. in the 1800s in the state, and especially in that part of the state, right? So, like, that song that you were just playing, Iko Iko, Iko is a, like, Creole word, and Creole is a language that developed in South Louisiana from sort of a blend of French, but it also takes a lot of West African languages from the folks who were enslaved in the South Louisiana. And so there is, you know, a lot of various influence in that part of the state, and I think really makes, or in the state as a whole, and I think really makes, you know, Louisiana culture interesting and special.
I did a spring break, woo, when I was in college it's very specifically spring break, woo, in Louisiana, at some point in college, I think maybe senior year of college, and I was with one of my best friends who is from La Reunion, which is an island off of Madagascar. It's a French state, mm-hmm. But he speaks Creole, and we were in, like, we did a alligator tour. And our tour guide spoke, like, very little English and fluent Creole. And Julian also, obviously, is fluent in French Creole. And it was, like, wild to see them. Because, like, this guy was just, like, super American, but, like, Creole. And Julian is just, like, this, like, French man. And, like, the common tongue of Creole was just, like, really fun. And, like, thank God Julian was there because we could not understand his accent mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. It was really
funny. Yeah. It can be a pretty rough one, even when people are speaking in English.
Yeah. It was thick, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Megan, without giving away, let's say, your employer or anything like that, it's my understanding that you're working with, in some dimension, with the electricity grid. Is that right?
Yes. So, that is, you know, a large portion of my work. And, you know, I think more of my work kind of has to do with research and development. But, you know, a lot of sort of, you know, my personal goals and sort of, you know, ideals and sort of what I do at work too revolves around renewable energy and sort of planning for the state's transition away from fossil fuel resources. And, you know, sort of looking ahead towards goals that the state has legislated, you know, for 2030 and 2040 and beyond in some cases, and looking at the landscape of New York and sort of what possibly could be achievable in those time frames.
Well, I would say that what's achievable depends upon getting some people out of the way, like our governor.
Would you agree with me on that? I think to some degree, and I think, you know, particularly as, you know, socialists and as members of the Capital District DSA, right, we've been working on really prioritizing a lot of that renewable build out to be public, mm-hmm. right, publicly owned, not utility owned, private utility owned. And so that's some of the work that we've been doing with the Public Power Committee and CDDSA, but mm-hmm. there are lots of other DSA chapters across the state who have been doing similar work in parallel around, you know, the Build Public Renewables Act.
Mm-hmm. Also most notable, the Hudson Valor Power Authority, which is being promoted by Sarah Hanna-Shretsa.
Yes.
That Phenom assembly person, who is also a member of the Hudson Valley, Mid-Hudson Valley DSA,
yeah. So just south of us.
So
yeah, go ahead.
But you are a chemist. I would think that somebody who would be into that would be more in line with being, let's say, an electrical engineer or a physicist. How does your work as a chemist dovetail into the power grid?
That's a good question. So, you know, I'll kind of go far back, but I won't make it too long. So I really, you know, got interested in chemistry in high school, and then in college, I sort of realized that a lot of the work going on actually for kind of green energy technologies is a lot of chemistry. So when I went to grad school, the stuff I was working on was actually materials that can be used in like solar cells. So, you know, a lot of the fundamental work that goes into these technologies is a lot of chemistry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, making the devices and putting things into the grid is a lot more electrical engineering. But when you're looking at sort of the level of the materials and things like that, there's a lot of chemistry and some physics and a lot of physics going on at that scale.
Okay. All right.
Wow. It's so cool we have somebody like Megan working on this at the state level. I know.
Okay.
Well, Megan. It's fascinating though, like you're saying what we're working towards, but the BPRA, the Build Public Renewables Act, is law. So I guess, like, what do you make of the law and what the law enacted in terms of the sweeping, green, what am I trying to say? BPRA passed, and it passed a certain, like, we have to be a certain percentage of renewable energies in New York State by 2030,
isn't it?
Do you think, as this is law, do you think that New York can do this? Is this achievable? And, like, I guess, what do you make of the law, and how do you think that New York can achieve it?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Sorry, that's like a pretty heavy question.
No, I'm just thinking, like, what part do I want to talk about first? So New York has some of the most ambitious goals in the country, which is typical of the state, I think, when we're looking at sort of progressive policies and initiatives. So the BPRA, in particular, the Build Public Renewables Act, which passed in 2023, gives the New York Power Authority, which the New York Power Authority is a state authority that exists within the executive branch structure of the state, it gives that authority the ability to build out renewable energy projects that would then be, you know, publicly owned and run by NYPA, which is the acronym New York Power Authority, instead of the utilities, like I was saying. And so I think, you know, one thing that I want to mention is the bill, the act, the law, it gives the New York Power Authority the ability to do this, but it doesn't actually give them money to do it. So, you know, it takes a lot of pressure to encourage them to rebalance their books, to make sure that the build outs that they're doing are as ambitious as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So because they're not a state department, they don't get money the same way a lot of other state entities do.
I guess they could float bonds.
Was there a question?
Could they float?
There are ways they get money, obviously, but you know, the act itself did not create money for them to do this, right? Mm-hmm. It just gives them the ability to do it. But I mean, still, that being said, right, like it's something that we don't really see a lot of other places having publicly owned energy, right? Yeah. So I think that's really exciting. And I think in terms of these other goals, you know, we don't have to date, you know, publicly owned projects that are like up and running. We have plans for them. The state has plans for them, not we necessarily. We as a state, I guess, have plans for projects. But there are, you know, lots of other projects that have been completed. You know, NYPA does have some publicly owned hydropower facilities. But, you know, a lot of their build outs upcoming are solar, right? Mm-hmm. They're not, we're not really doing. To see what happens in the next 5 years and the next 15 years. I think there are still some questions that are up in the air. So the goal by 2030 is 70% renewables for energy generation. And the goal by 2040 is zero emissions. So those goals are not, you don't necessarily need the same mix of things to achieve those goals, right? So the state has built out quite a lot of solar power, several gigawatts, I think like 6+ gigawatts, I could be wrong, of solar. I think, you know, the goal to get to 70% renewables for solar is 35 gigawatts. There's some goals to build out more offshore wind. And then there's still questions about how we get to zero emissions by 2040. The hope is there's a little bit more flexibility in zero emissions versus renewable. Sort of where we can find alternatives to fossil fuels that are zero emission, but maybe are not considered renewable. So that'll be that. I think, you know, to your question, Casey, it'll be interesting to see, like I said, the next 5 years, the next 15 years, and even beyond, what sort of energy mix the state decides to pursue. But I do think that it's important that we continue to advocate for these publicly owned renewable sources so that, you know, folks have a say in processes.
I'm sure that the powers that be are there are saying, well, if we have to do this, let's do it with public-private partnerships, you know, which is ridiculous. Just do it the way it would have been done, you know, in the days of FDR. Just build it.
Just build it. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess there's only one way to go, and that is forward, because that is how time works.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Well, Megan, I think we're going to let you get back to your, king cake and beignets. Am I right about that?
Yeah, so king cake is definitely Mardi Gras specific. Okay. I'd say beignets are an all year round kind of treat.
Okay. Lucky us.
Okay. If you were listening to the show earlier, you know that I'm giving up sugar for Lent. I'm going to be quite miserable.
I know. Next month's theme is going to be, how can we piss off Bill?
It's going to be easy. It's going to be the easiest thing.
But yeah, right. That's kind of the idea of Mardi Gras, right? Is the last hurrah before Lent begins tomorrow.
That's right.
Oh my God. That makes so much sense. You just blew my mind.
Wow. Yeah. All the Catholics were like, we need a party before we have to
that's
do Lent.
Right.
It tracks. Okay. I get it now.
That was Mardi Gras, right? So.
All right. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thanks so much, Megan.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. Ciao.
Bye.
Wow. She was terrific.
She's great.
Yep. All right. So she talked about the mix of cultures. So I'm going to play a song that is incredibly mixed in culture, especially Welsh culture. Let's see, what number is this here? Number 5, is it? Hold it, I'll find it here. Here we go. This is Tom Jones.
Yeah, that's it right there. Some of y'all have never been down south too much. I'm gonna tell a little bit about this. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. Down there we have a plant that grows out in the woods and the fields. Looks something like a turnip green. Everybody calls it poke salad. Poke salad. We got it now. Used to know a girl who lived down there. She'd go out in the evening, pick a mess of it, carry it home when cooking the supper. Cause that's about all they had to eat. But they did all right. Down in Louisiana, where the alligators go so mean, there lived a girl, and I swear to the world, she made the alligators look tame. Poke salad, Annie. Woo-hoo. Poke salad, Annie. Everybody said it was a shame, cause her mama was working on a chain gang. A mean, vicious woman. You see, supper time, she'd go down by the truck patch and pick her mess of poke salad and carry it home in a tote sack. Poke salad, Annie. You know, the gator's got to granny. Huh. Everybody said it was a shame, but her mama was a working on a chain gang. A wretched spot for straight razor tone woman. Come on, man, hit me with it now. Out! Yeah! That's it! Woo-hoo. Had a bad back. All her brothers were fit for was stealing watermelons out of my truck pack. Poke salad, Annie. You know, the
Wow, that was the amazing Tom Jones, who I don't think he was ever in the South before he ever sang that song, but...
Yeah, having the knowledge that it was Tom Jones, like, every time he said something in that song, I was just like,
ooh. Oh, my
sounds
God.
Fabulous, though.
Well, let's see. It's getting... Let's see. We got a little time left on the show.
Yeah, you do.
Suppose I played Mississippi Queen.
Suppose.
Would that be a good thing for you?
Why not?
Okay.
Fade out.
No, there's no fade out to that song. Like, it's like Mississippi Queen. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what he means. Casey, is that an ambiguity that you could resolve for me? What does he mean by Mississippi Queen?
Excuse me.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know what you mean.
I thought a Mississippi Queen was a steamboat, so maybe he's just really into steam.
But he says she's a dancer.
Steamy?
Perhaps.
Steamy, watery boat.
Jambalaya? All right. Let's see. So we want to make people in the listening audience aware of something. That there is a kind of a White Lotus Resort, which is going up around Round Top. And, of course, those things have environmental impacts. And the board of Round Top, hold on, let me just go right to the Friends of Round Top email.
I will briefly say I went to the last town board meeting. I believe it was back in November. It was in late 2024, and it was a proposal. These people have bought the old Blackhead golf course and they want to rewild it and turn it into this massive hotel and spa. And
is that rewilding it?
Well, they were going to like rewild some of the area. I mean, like some, a lot of it is still golf course, so they're not going to, they're going to like rewild the golf course, but they're going to tear down a lot of the other stuff. Inherently, I wasn't like, obviously I was like, that sounds crazy. But I went and I was like, okay, it will bring business back to the area. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But then I guess according to this email, please read it.
Well, it says that the Cairo Town Board?
Cairo
Town Board, I'm not a local, have decided that they're not going to look for SEQRA, which is an environmental review, especially in regards to the water usage of this proposed development and how it can basically screw up everybody's wells.
Yeah, there was a lot of people at that meeting who were coming forward and being like, I live here. We're on the same watershed. What's going to happen? And they promised to do a study, but it seems like that's not happening.
So, Cairo Town Board, grow a pair.
Yeah, which is insane because it will impact a lot of people and they should do the study, in our opinion. There is a town board meeting on Thursday. Do you know the time, Bill, or I can pull it up quickly?
Let me take a look. It's in the email.
I, too, am looking it up very quickly.
It doesn't say that. Well,
Thursday night, if you can. Sorry, we did not prepare for this. There's a planning board meeting Thursday night. You can write to planning@townofcairo.com and come to the meeting Thursday if you are so inclined. It doesn't say the time in this email, but I would imagine it's at 6 p.m. But we can throw that up on the Capital District DSA Instagram for more information.
Sounds good. Okay, it's almost time, and we don't even have any time for an outro. We have like half a minute left. So
all
let's
right, well,
go.
Thanks, everybody.
Ciao, everybody. Here's our outro.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go. Me, oh my. Oh. Me gotta go. Pull the Piro down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have.